Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, there's a whole lot of God in the house tonight. And that's good news. Because there ain't nothing he can't fix. Nothing that he can't set straight. Praise God. Nothing. Nothing too crooked that he can't straighten it out. He's good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. How many people believe God's 100% good? I mean, he's just good. How many people believe he's a loving God? Loving God. Merciful God. And yet we know that even though God is love, God is good, God is also a God of law and commandments. Isn't that right? So there's really another side possibly here to God then. Not just a good side, not just a loving God, but also a very hard and harsh God. Right? Because when we think of law and commandments, we think of hard. We think harsh, don't we? Yeah, most folks do. When they think of the law and commandments, they think of something that's hard and harsh. When you talk about the law, when you even just mention the law and the commandments, you usually don't arouse happy thoughts and happy feelings in people. But the reality is, God's law and commandments are good. And they're not hard, but they're light. And they're easy. And they're refreshing. Just like everything else about God. He's good. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let me come over here to 1 John. Why don't you turn there tonight with me? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I got news for you. God's will has always been the same. God's will for his people under the old covenant and his will for us today under the new covenant has always been the same. And what is it? That you enjoy life. That you have life and have it overflowing. That you have life and experience life to the full and beyond. Overflow would be beyond being full. And that's what he meant by abundant life, overflowing life. That has always been God's will. And of course, if you just think about heaven, Jesus said for us to pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we just stop and just think about heaven for a little bit. You think there's anybody up there oppressed? Huh? Overworked, pushed down, heavy, weighted down because of God's laws and God's commandments? No. You just don't have that kind of picture of heaven. You know it's light and easy up there. Right? You know it's refreshing. You know it's exciting. Well, he said that's what he wants for us on earth. He's got the same will for those on earth as he has for those in heaven. Otherwise, he never would have told us to pray that way. That his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So his law and his commandments cannot be something oppressive and burdensome. And we see right here in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Now, this is the New Testament, and there are actually a lot of scriptures in the New Testament that talk about us keeping God's commandments, obeying his commandments. In fact, let me just go through them with you. Why I'm on that subject. Let's look at some New Testament scriptures, and then we'll come back to the burdensome part about his commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 7, 20. It says, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. New Testament. Keeping the commandments of God is what matters. That was written to the church at Corinth, which of course is for us today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the suggestions of the Lord. Does it say that? No. It says the things that I write to you, here under the new covenant, all these epistles, the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So commandment, the word commandment or the commandments under the New Testament is not a curse word to us. It's still a Bible word. It's still God's word. It's still a good word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, verses 1 through 2, but I'm going to cut down to this part where it says, you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So through the Lord Jesus, the apostles and the prophets under the new covenant gave us commandments. Commandments. So it's not just an Old Testament thing, is it? 1 John chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. New Testament. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Notice that keeping his commandments is synonymous with keeping his word. Keeping his word, keeping his commandments. So New Testament, word of God, is his commandments. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Think about that. Jesus is our example to follow. We're to walk just as he walked. Now, he would never tell us to do something that we could never do. So we need to start getting excited. Start getting a vision and realizing, man, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, we can walk just as Jesus walked when he was here on this earth. Brethren, he goes on, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So notice that all through here in 1 John, if we keep his commandments, keep his commandments. It's the same as keeping his word. Not a new commandment, but the old commandment which you had from the beginning. From the very beginning. So see, God does not change. His commandments are still right and good today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What do? We do his commandments. Verse 24 of 1 John 3. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So this is obviously written to born-again believers who have the Spirit of God, who have received his Spirit. And he's saying, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, continues in him. 2 John, it's just one chapter actually, it's 2 John, one chapter, and then verses 5 and 6. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Commandments. So we're just going through this to just help get our minds to be thinking right, that the word commandments is not just some kind of Old Testament thing. The New Testament is full of it, full of talk about keeping God's commandments. We come into the book of Revelation, chapter 12, Revelation 12. And verse 17 says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring." Here he's talking about, it's all symbolic talk over here in the book of Revelation. The woman represents Israel, and the rest of her offspring is the church, you and I. So the devil is the dragon. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's both. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and we're those that keep the commandments of God. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Do we have any saints in the house tonight? Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, there's some folks that have the idea that faith in Jesus removes the commandments of God out of our life. We don't follow God's commandments. We don't keep God's commandments. We don't obey God's commandments because now we have faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we just saw here in the book of Revelation a couple scriptures that say keeping the commandments of God are for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." What does keeping the commandments have to do with going to heaven and entering the gates of heaven and eating from the tree of life? Everything. No, it's faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus and keeping the commandments. They go hand in hand, see? John 15, verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Jesus talking. "You'll abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And we haven't exhausted it there. All these scriptures in the New Testament that talk about the commandments to God. There's more we could look at, but we'll stop there. We've proven a point here tonight that commandments are, that word commandments is a New Testament word. And it's a part of the New Testament believer's life. Doesn't that just make you sad? Well, it does if the word commandments or thoughts of the law to you, it's something that's heavy, something burdensome that God is placing upon your life. But now let's come back here to 1 John chapter 5. And again, verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Notice that. His commandments are not burdensome. They're not something that's heavy and oppressive. Friend, I got news for you. Jesus said, I'm repeating myself, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's nothing oppressive that comes forth from the Lord Jesus. There's nothing too hard for us that comes forth from God. God's will for us is for us to enjoy life. And watch this. And that we take it easy. The life of God is the easy life. And the Bible actually says that. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But the life of God, God's way of doing things, God's way of living, God's law, God's commandments, God's word. Man, it's life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. It's life, it's strength, it's joy, it's peace, it's easy, it's light. Hallelujah. I'm talking about God's law, God's commandment. See, we got to get our minds renewed. And we can't draw back from God's commandments thinking that commandments, laws, mean weights. Work, being in bondage, being robbed of freedom. No, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, and He's a God of commandments. Now the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. That's what's in His presence. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where in His presence is hard. It's tough. It's rough. I can't find anywhere where it says, but it says in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Now we understand that the commandments, the original Ten Commandments, were given by God on Mount Sinai to Moses, who then presented them to the children of Israel. Well, how did God give the commandments? By bringing His presence down upon that mountain. God's presence came down on that mountain, and out of His presence came the commandments. And in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So that means if in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, then when the commandments came out from His presence, it must be an extension to us of His fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. God's commandments are a good thing. They're an exciting thing. Fullness of joy is in His commandments, because His commandments are in His presence. The commandments that were given to us came out of His presence. So God's presence, God's commandments, and fullness of joy are all one. I said God's commandments, God's presence are all one. And the law, God's commandments and God's presence are one. Hallelujah. And fullness of joy are all one. And pleasures forevermore. You want pleasures forevermore? Enjoy His commandments. Get to know His commandments. It's not a burden. It's not oppressive. It's not putting something on us. When we think of the law and the commandments, many times people think that it's God putting something on us. But in actuality, it's God liberating us. It's God freeing us. See, we got to get our minds renewed from our old way of thinking when we were criminals in the sight of God. Now, there's no criminal that gets excited about the law. And that's why a lot of Christians still have that mentality that the law and the commandments are a burden, are a weight, because they're still thinking with unrenewed minds concerning the law and the commandments. They're still thinking like they thought when they were a criminal in the sight of God. But now, through faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer criminals in the sight of God. We are the righteousness of God in Him. So we're not criminals anymore. So the law doesn't bother me. Now, I remember when I was a teenager. And the teenager that I was not an example for teenagers today. Because the teenager that I was did not know the Lord. But I remember that particular teenager. He drove around many times with a car that the registration was expired. Or a taillight was out. A headlight was out. You know, something like that. And, you know, he drove a Camaro that he spray painted black himself one day after school. Actually, it was during lunch break. He had a nice blue Camaro with a vinyl white roof, and he said, "That's not cool. I'm going to make it black." So he went and got black paint, got on top of the car, and started painting it. And a little breeze was blowing that day also, as he was spray painting. And just about the time we finished, his friend nudged him and said, look, and there was a white van right across the street, and the wind was blowing that way, and it was now a speckled white van, so we took off. But again, but he, you know, I remember times he was driving around, and whenever he saw a police officer, oh, he got really uptight. He got really uptight because he knew, you know, his registration was expired or something wasn't right about his car. And so, in fact, there was a couple times that one time he saw a police car pass him. He looked through the rearview mirror and noticed the police car was turning around. So he hit his gas pedal, went down a side road, turned his lights off, riding down side roads to escape the law. He did things like that to escape the law. Why? Because he wasn't right with the law. He wasn't right with the law. Now, today, usually driving in a vehicle, there's no problem with the law. Although sometimes you do kind of check to see if you're buckled up. But some of you have a very good habit of doing that. You don't even fear that. Amen. She's my seatbelt alarm. But when you're right with the law, you're not afraid of the law. You're no longer running from the law. You're no longer scared of the law. The law is no longer a problem to you. The law is only a problem to lawbreakers, to criminals. But you and I are no longer criminals. This is what we got to get our minds renewed. We're no longer criminals. We're the righteousness of God. We are people of faith, faith in God. We now love the law and we love the commandments. It's who we are. It's what we're all about. And we understand the law is not a burden to us. It's not something oppressive to us. No, the law brings liberty to us. In fact, the Bible refers to the law over in the book of James as a law of liberty. A law of liberty. God's law is liberty. God's commandments is joy and peace to us. It's light and easy to us because we're no longer criminals. How many people believe God's presence is a good thing? God's presence is a good thing. But, you know, a criminal would run from even the presence of God. Somebody that's not right with God would even run from the presence of God just like they would run away from the law and the commandments. We see that back here in Genesis with Adam and Eve. Very beginning, Genesis chapter 3. This is after Adam and Eve yielded to that temptation, and now they weren't right with God anymore. And it says in verse 8 that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, we know that in his presence is what? Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And we also know in his presence are his commandments, his laws. And notice here that when they were no longer right with God, they ran from his presence. Just like a criminal would run from a police officer. They no longer are right with the law, so they would run, hide from it. So here they're hiding from the presence of God. They're going out from the, they're trying to keep away from the presence of God. Why? Because they've broken his commandments. His presence and his commandments and fullness of joy all go hand in hand. But getting out from his presence, getting out from his commandments, which goes together. To leave his commandments is to leave his presence. To leave his presence is to get away from his commandments. Is to get away from joy. Is to get away from peace. They got away from his presence. They got away from his commandments. They didn't obey what he said. And what did they get? Oppression, burdens, a heavy, weighted down life. It's being away from his presence, being away from his commandments, that life is burdensome. Life is hard. But in his presence And having and knowing and keeping his commandments is life to us. It's liberty. It's freedom. It's fullness of joy to us. It's pleasures forevermore to us. You see another example with Cain after he murdered Abel and God tried to draw him back. It says in chapter 4 of Genesis, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Nod, in my margin, says another name for that is wandering. The word Nod means wandering. He went out and just became a vagabond, just wandered through life. But notice, he got away from the presence. He left the presence of God. He left God's commandments. And what happened? He just began to wander purposelessly through life. See, his life became a burden because he left God's presence. God's presence is good. God's presence is liberty. And God's commandments are exactly the same for you and I. So we don't want to be afraid of the law. I'm not under the law. You know, the law has something to do with the Old Testament. The law has nothing to do with us. The commandments have nothing to do with us. Well, that's just not knowing God. That is an old criminal's mentality where you're afraid of his commandments. You're afraid of his law. Nothing to be afraid of, folks. You've been made right in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus. You're right with God. Therefore, the law is a blessing to you. The commandments are a blessing to you. The commandments mean life to you and I. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So say what we say. God's commandments, just like his presence, equal love, happiness, joy, and peace for me. Amen. We looked at the Ten Commandments. We went through it where it says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not have any other gods before you. All these thou shalt nots. And then we looked at what shall not really means. And we saw that it means will not. It will not. So it wasn't God acting as a tyrant, putting laws on us or burdens on us. It was God giving us faith confessions. Confessions of victory over our life. I, through Jesus, through the grace of God, I will not lie. I will not lie. I will not give in to a lie. I will not get so in fear and under pressure that I have to lie to anybody. See, that's liberty. That's a confession of faith, a confession of victory. I will not murder. I'll never murder somebody no matter what happens, no matter how angry I get. The Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. I will not steal. I won't do it. This is a faith confession. This is a declaration of victory over sin, victory over temptation. So that isn't something, again, God putting something on us. That's God lifting us up above all the oppressive things that are in this world. So when thinking about God's commandments, we should get happy. We should get happy because God's commandments brings happiness. It means a happy life for you and I. And again, that's what God has had for us from the very beginning. When he came on Mount Sinai, when he gave the law, when he gave the commandments, it was all about bringing us into an enjoyable life. I mean, he even set up and said, you know, one of the commandments, keep the Sabbath. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean keep the Sabbath? Well, he's saying, don't work on the seventh day. Now, you can work all these other days, but you're going to take a day off and you're going to rest. Now, I command you to rest. What do you mean? I command you to take it easy. I command you to lighten up. Now, you're going to be tempted through fear to just work 7 days a week, but I am commanding you not to do that. I'm commanding you to rest. In fact, it would be a crime for you to go out and break the Sabbath. It would be a crime for you to go out and overwork. Think about that. God is so into rest. He is so into you enjoying life that he sets up a command and says, now you can work so much, but no more. You're not going to overwork. I'm not going to let you overwork. If you overwork, now you're breaking the law. God's idea of breaking the law is overworking. God's idea of breaking the law is you not enjoying life. This is our God, folks. He is not some tyrant. When people see the law and the commandments, they see a tyrant. That's not who he is. That's not what the law brings. It's all about liberty. It's all about freedom. You're going to enjoy life. If I have to come down off of this mountain, put on flesh and blood, and become a human being, you are going to enjoy life. I am not going to let the devil oppress you. You are not going to be a victim in life. You are not going to be a slave to sin. You're going to be free sons, free daughters of mine. And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you're going to have them. Don't you doubt that. You believe and you receive that, that whatsoever thing you desire. That's my will for you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So you better walk with the Spirit of the Lord. Notice, you better walk free. You better enjoy liberty. You better be enjoying life. You better be living it up. I mean, if people understood the true message, this church would be packed. People think, you know, I don't want anything put on me, and I don't want to have to do that. And, I know coming to God means having to sacrifice, having to give up things. No, it's about getting free of things. Getting free of things. What are you giving up? Things that rob you of life? Huh? Things that make you a slave? That's what you have to give up? Dear Lord God, give it up. It's not giving up anything. It's getting rid of stuff. It's getting loose of stuff. Hey, man, I got to surrender and lay down my life. See, I got to lay down my fun. Well, no, when he's talking about sanctification, a holy life. See, again, that's another word, holiness. Tonight, we're going to talk about holiness. God's holy and you need to be holy. Right? What does the word holy mean? Set apart. Set apart from the world. Don't be worldly. Oh, I really want to be. I really want to be. Well, you know, the Bible says Satan is the god of this world. The devil's the god of this. I don't know. If you haven't looked out there lately, it's pretty nasty. Thank God for sanctification. Thank God we can be set apart from that nasty mess. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about being set apart from the devil, being set apart from all the works of the devil, being set apart from all the works of darkness, set apart from sickness, set apart from disease. I mean, if anybody can say you can't touch this, it's the church to the devil. You can't touch this. Why? I'm holy. I'm sanctified. And the wicked one touches me not. I am set apart. Man, you know, you got to suffer in the flesh to resist sin. Suffer in the flesh. Well, what is suffering in the flesh? That's just talking about not being dominated by the flesh. That's talking about not being just limited to the flesh. Not being a flesh creature where you're just bound to this earth suit. To your five physical senses. Now he's calling us to live a much higher life, to live out beyond the flesh, to be able to walk in the Spirit, experience other realms that God has created, be an eternal being, suffering in the flesh. It's being free from the flesh. It's being free from the flesh. Amen. Well, that means we have to go without a lot of earthly pleasures in this life as Christians. We got to give up a lot of earthly pleasures, yes, and experience a lot of heavenly bliss. That's what I start. See, a lot of folks, they emphasize all this. They make it sound so negative. This life of sacrifice, this life of surrender. I'm a pitiful sacrifice for God. It sounds sad and depressing. But if you're sad and depressed or sad because of depression, you're in sin. Because that's not allowed in God's kingdom. What's allowed in his kingdom? Laughter. Lightheartedness. Happiness. Why? Because faith is lighthearted. Why? Because faith trusts in God. Faith says we're going to get through this because if God is for us, who can be against us? Faith is trusting him. So faith isn't going to be sad because of depression. Just feel so hopeless. Just that face alone. It's not allowed in heaven. Do you understand? That's no. Nobody comes to heaven. No one's going to come to the gate of heaven and go. Nobody's coming to heaven like that. If you want to go to heaven, you better smile. You better get happy because only happiness gets in there. That's all that gets into heaven. So you better learn to smile. Practice now. Everybody ready? Cheese. Smile. Be lighthearted. Be happy. That's the kingdom of God. Remember, what's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Righteousness, peace. Are you righteous? Are you right with God? Oh, hallelujah. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Then you've got peace and you've got joy. Don't sit here and say, I'm the righteousness of God, and then show no peace and no joy. If you're the righteousness of God, you've got peace and joy because it's righteous, peace, and joy. They all go together. So you got to be righteous to go to heaven. Well, peace and joy is with it. You can't get the righteousness without the peace and joy. So you're slipping from righteousness because you're slipping from faith when you're not walking in peace and joy. And so this has been a great tool to help me, you know, because I understand that. See, I can identify myself right there. See, if I lose my joy and I lose my peace, then I know, oh, I got my eyes off Jesus. I'm not walking in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're righteous through our faith. So to know that I'm walking in God's righteousness, I could just check on my peace and joy. How's my peace and joy doing? In other words, are you enjoying life? Because if you, obviously you've got peace and joy, you're enjoying yourself. Right? Think about that. God has called you to enjoy life.
What's the call of God on my life?
To enjoy it. Why don't we just get that first, and then we can maybe move on and do something else. If you're not going to get that,
I need to know what God wants me to do.
Smile.
What's his plan for my life?
To enjoy it. Enjoy yourself. Amen. Because it's the only way you're going to be able to run your race. The only way you're going to be able to be fruitful for God. You got to be happy. You're never going to make it. Forget about ministry. You don't want to be in the ministry if you don't know how to enjoy yourself. Get out of here. You don't want the ministry. Ministry is not what makes you happy. It's Jesus that makes you happy. It's the word that makes you happy. It's his commandments that make you happy. Hallelujah. So if you're not enjoying where you are now, forget about going anywhere else. Let's enjoy where you are right now. Paul, I mean, with all that he went through, all the persecutions, everything, and when it came to ministry, he said that he ran his race with joy. And you know what he's going to be judged for and has been judged for probably already? Standing before the Lord, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to be judged based on how fast he ran his race. Now, how long his race was. Well, your race was longer than anybody else. You ran longer than anybody. That's not because he's not going to be judged for how long the race was and how fast he ran the race. He's going to be judged for the amount of joy that he had running that race. Why? Because it's the joy that's connected to the righteousness. And that's what we have to stand before the Lord and give an account of, walking in the righteousness of God. Did you walk in the right? Did you live your life by faith? Did you live your life by faith? So it's not about how much you did, how fast you run. It's, did you run it with joy?
Lord, I struggled through it the whole time.
Well, that's not going to work. That's not going to get any rewards. See, that's not pleasing the Lord. Even when it comes to giving, the Bible says the Lord loves a big giver. Does it say that? And the Lord loves a big giver. No. It says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Amen. Now, somebody that's just squeaking something out, there's no cheerfulness there. There's no cheerfulness there because there's too much fear. They're too worried. They're too worried. They're giving just a little bit just to get by, just to say, I gave something. There's no cheerfulness in that. There's no faith in that. It's not how much you give. It's how cheerful you were when you gave. Were you excited about what you gave? Were you happy about your giving? Were you giving what you really wanted to give? If you were, then you're happy. And you're cheerful. But see, it all comes down to joy and cheerfulness and being happy. Say, God has a happy life for me. He does. And it's not a life apart from his commandments. Well, if we just do away with his commandments, then we'd have a happy life. No, in his commandments is a happy life. That's where the joy is. Because his commandments have come out of his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. How many people love his commandments? Yes. See, let's not draw back from it. Let's get excited about it. Let's get excited about God's commandments. And let's enjoy life. That's the number one thing on our list. How well can you enjoy life? It's not about how much you do or how little you do. It's how much you enjoy what you do. How much you enjoy what you do. And your enjoyment is not based on your performance, but it's based on his mercy and his grace that he has made you right in his sight. And now out of a relationship with him and walking by faith in him, you're accomplishing things for God. Accomplish things out of the joy of the Lord. Out of a joyful life, you're accomplishing things for God. Amen. It's easy to accomplish things for God when you're enjoying life. But if you're trying, I'm trying. Stop trying so hard. Life is hard enough without you trying so hard. I said life is hard enough without you trying so hard. You need to enjoy your life. And then out of the overflow of your enjoyment, you'll be fruitful. You'll bear fruit. You'll be able to accomplish things. I mean, it's easy. It's easy. Ministry is easy. I've had ministers come up to me. I know it's hard. It's hard. And, you know, they're talking about how hard it is serving God in the ministry. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you know, you want to be polite. You want to be nice. You don't want to just say, well, no, I'm having the time of my life. When the guy's, you know, he's pouring all this sympathy on you. I've had this happen more than one time. Ministers, you know, just pouring all this sympathy on me. Oh, I know it's hard. The late nights, all the inconveniences, all the things that you have, all the sacrifices you have to make as a minister of God. I just turned to the one guy and said, well, actually, I'm really enjoying myself. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. He took offense to that. I said, no, I'm really enjoying myself. I really have. I've been enjoying myself. It's been blissful. I've had fun. Amen. Not everybody's been nice over 21 years of pastoring. Not everybody's done me right. But that's okay. I'm still having a grand time. Just a grand time. Having a great time. Why? Because I'm doing it in His presence. I'm doing it in His presence. I'm doing what He's commanded me to do. I'm obeying Him. Well, then His grace is all over it. And it's not burdensome. It's enjoyable. You can enjoy yourself. Don't have a care in the world. Not a care in the world. And that's what He said over through Peter. He said, casting all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Think about that. God command, here's another commandment. Cast your care on Him. Cast your care on God. Don't you be carrying cares. Don't you be worried. Don't you be burdened down with the cares of life. I'll carry that for you. It's sin to be burdened down with cares, worried. That's a sin in the kingdom of God. That's a sin. Carrying cares is a sin. Unrest and worry is a sin. That's the kingdom you and I are a part of. You better get it off. You better get happy. You better enjoy your life. You better have fun. You better be excited. Come on. You better be expecting good things and nothing bad. You better know good things are ahead for you. You better know that God's got you covered, that God's carrying the load. You better go through this thing happy. You're not the provider. He's the provider. You better go through this thing. I'm telling you, this is a commandment. This is the kingdom of God. We got to get our minds renewed to understand this. God's commandment is enjoyment. He commands you to enjoy life. I know I'm repeating myself. I know. But you need it more than you think. Don't be caught carrying cares. Don't you be caught carrying cares. Hallelujah. Don't you be caught depressed. God's not playing violins. Angels aren't playing harps because you're depressed. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 in the Amplified Bible, it says, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, holy to the Lord. And be not grieved and depressed. I'm reading the Bible. This is a holy day. Be not grieved and depressed. For the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Because all the people were crying. They were all whining and crying. And do not be grieved and sad. And all the people went their way to eat, drink, send portions, and make great rejoicing. For they had understood the words that were declared to them. He's saying, go eat. Go drink. Go have a good. They're like, oh, God. They were crying over everything. And then God tells the leaders to tell these people, stop your crying. This is a holy day. This is a holy day. What do you mean? This is an exciting day. A holy day is an exciting day. And you better not be depressed. And you better not. Don't be grieved and depressed. Don't be sad. Don't be walking around with a frown. This is a holy day. Friend, I got to tell you, this is a holy house. This is holy ground. You better smile. This is holy ground. You better get happy. You better get excited because you're on holy ground. Glory be to God. So he commanded them, don't be sad and depressed. He commands us to rest. Rest on the seventh day, of course, but we're to live a restful life now, every day. Every day of our life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Commanded to cast our cares. Then God commands us to love. Can you imagine that? My greatest commandment, love. Love. Receive and give love. That's the commandment of God. That's the guy. What's the biggest, greatest demand of God? Because a command is a demand. What's the biggest demand that God places on us? Love. Be loved and love one another. Be free of hate and bitterness and ugliness and judgmental attitudes and just love. Just love everybody. You're beautiful. Come on, I love you. Don't worry about how they treat you. I got you covered. Love. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Love. You put that all together, we can all just kind of hug each other and drink. And just love. And then he tells his ministers, he demands them to preach liberty. Bring this up. Jeremiah chapter 34. What are these preachers supposed to be preaching anyway? It's starting to sound like church now. It's starting to sound like the kingdom of God. It's starting to sound like righteousness. It's starting to sound like God's commandments are being preached. It sounds like the law is being given. It's just starting to sound like that. It sounds like holiness in the house. Holiness. Holiness isn't about how long your hair is, honey. Holiness isn't about you not wearing lipstick. If you wore some lipstick, you might help some people to smile. That's holy. People think holiness is how they wear their hair. If you put your hair up like the Tower of Babel, then you'd be holy. Or if you cover yourself, you cover your head. Then you're holy. No. That's not holy. He didn't say, this is a holy day. Wear your bonnet. He didn't say that. He said, this is a holy day. Don't be sad and depressed. And the way you're dressing and the way you're looking, you're causing a lot of people at home to be depressed. Make somebody happy. Incredible. What people call holy. If we don't eat this, if we don't eat that, if we don't eat the fat, drink the sweet, and you'll be a little sweeter. People are so worried about eating the wrong thing and offending God by eating the wrong thing. You'd think they're eating a bunch of prunes. Sour grapes. Eat something that makes you happy. Hallelujah. It's starting to sound like church. This is normal. I got news to you. This is normal. But people have no idea what holiness is. They're like, it's like a circus in there. It's irreverent. It's irreverent. Now, you don't know what reverence is. This is reverence. This is reverence. Think of how irreverent it is. Here God sits in the heavens and laughs, and then his kids walk around. That's not reverencing God. Is that reverencing God? Somebody said, I don't feel very well. Well, laughter does good like medicine. Start laughing, maybe it'll make you feel better. Maybe. Bible said it would. I've learned to laugh at the devil. He tries to put some kind of thing on me, make me feel terrible physically. I've learned to laugh at him. Drives him right out of the, just drives it, brings the kingdom in, drives the devil out. Devil hates it when you laugh. He likes when you scoff and you mock and jeer, but he doesn't like people full of joy. I'm just telling you, he doesn't like that. So if you want to drive the devil out, be joyful. Be glad, be happy. Can you say amen? All right, we'll close with this. Jeremiah 34, verse 17. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty. Everyone to his brother and everyone to his neighbor. Isn't that something? He said, you didn't obey me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty. Think about that. To not preach liberty is disobedience. To not declare freedom is disobedience. And as a result of that, if you read on, they end up going into bondage. Pestilence, famine, all kinds of terrible things happen. Because they didn't preach liberty. Being a Christian's tough. I know. And I know this is a hard message tonight. It's hard. It's tough. But this is just who we are. And we've just got to bear it. We're going to have to be happy and we're going to have to enjoy our life. I'm sorry. And every time you come here, I'm going to have to preach liberty in some form or fashion. I'm going to have to preach freedom. You're going to have to be delivered. You're going to have to experience healing. You're going to have to experience fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. It's just what he has commanded. It's what he's called you to walk in. It's how he's called you to live. I'm sorry. I know. You want to hear. You're an old sinner. I understand that. I know you want to hear. Life is hard, and God makes it harder with his commandments. I understand that. It's the tight, narrow path that you and I are on. It's a tightrope. You can fall off at any time. It's terrible. I know we have to go. We have to go home and watch the evening news before we go to bed tonight. I understand we got to hear about killing and murder and everything the devil's. I understand that. We'll dismiss in just a moment. It's the Christian life, friend. It's the Christian life. Let's stand on our feet. I can't stop you from laughing. I can't do it. It'd be unlawful for me to stop you from laughing. It'd be unlawful for me to cause you to have a bad time. Sorry. Oh, Heavenly Father. What can we say? We have no cares. We have no worries any longer. We recklessly abandon ourselves and just cast everything on you and we just enjoy ourselves now. It's freedom, 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 and fun, fun, fun. Sometimes we gotta dance, sometimes we gotta run. It's just what we have to do. It's who we are. We're a part of this kingdom now. Well, you're not allowed to have a bad time. You're not allowed to have a bad day. You're not allowed to. It's not permitted. It's unlawful. It's unacceptable. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say every day,
every day
is a good day. Because it's the day the Lord has made. So what are we going to put our eyes on? We're going to put our eyes on him. That's what we're going to do. Glory to God. Say it with me. Say it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be good. It is good. It is well. It is well. It is well. Praise God. Even in the face of hell, it is well. Right? Because we're not really facing hell. We're facing heaven. Even though hell's clamoring all around, we're going to keep our eyes on heaven. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you again. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. It endures forever. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.